verses 6 through 9. We're going to look at the faith of Abraham. Last time, we looked at the foolishness of the Galatians. This week, we'll look at the faith of Abraham in verses 6 through 9. We'll see if, we'll see if we get further than that, see how it goes. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Pastor, do you mind praying for me, please?
Father, it's sure good to be in church this morning. We thank you, Lord, for salvation so rich and so free. Lord, we pray you bless Caleb, and pray for Pastor Matt, Miss Keenan, Miss Tina, as they teach the other classes. We thank you that we can have Sunday school hour. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be open to receive the Word of God, that it would work effectually in our lives. Touch Caleb, bless him as he's prayed and as he studied, and loose him, give him liberty, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, the first verse we're going to look at is verse 6. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." We see the word believe. The word believe is a transitive verb. It means to credit upon the authority or testimony of another, to be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another, or upon evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, and deductions of the mind, or by other circumstances than personal knowledge, to expect or hope with confidence, to trust. And let me ask you this morning, who and what is your confidence in? The Bible says that it was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounted means esteemed, deemed, considered, regarded, valued, accounted for, explained. In this verse, we see the righteousness from Abraham's faith. This is a reference to Genesis 15, verse 6. Let's go back there to Genesis 15 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and it was, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." So we see, we can ask the question, what did Abraham believe? He believed what God said about the miracle involving his son Isaac. When we believe what God said about his son Jesus Christ, then we will be saved. That is, we will be counted as righteous, as righteousness in God's sight. To be saved, one needs the righteousness of God. You cannot obtain it. You can obtain it by faith, not by works. By the way, Paul is not saying that Abraham was saved like the Galatians were saved. He's trying to make the point of believing God by faith. Speaking of faith, Abraham learned that even though it seemed like an impossible situation, the one involving his son Isaac, where he had to take him up to the mountain there and sacrifice him, it was an impossible situation, but he learned that he learned to trust God and put his confidence in God. We need to trust the Lord before we see him at work, not just after. We all have the situations in our lives where we go through something, or even like the building, and God, builds the building for us, and then we're like, oh yeah, God did this and God did that, and then we start having faith in God. No, you need to have faith in God before he works. that he will work. And then you can, you know, see the blessings of that faith as God works. There was a little girl who was unaccustomed to traveling. She was taking a train ride through the country, and it happened in the course of the day that the train was obliged to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. The water was seen in advance by the little girl, and she began to doubt and to fear as a child. She didn't understand how these streams and rivers could be safely crossed. As they drew near to the first river, however, a bridge appeared and furnished a way over. Two or three times as the experience was repeated, and finally the child leaned back with a long breath of relief and confidence. "Someone has put bridges for us all the way," she said in trusting contentment. That is life. We fear so many evils, so many troubles that look dark as we look ahead. So many difficulties seem insurmountable as they loom before us. But as we advance, we find that the difficulties that seem insurmountable, we find that there is a way through them. God has built bridges for us all along the way. Verse 7, we'll look at verse 7. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Let's look at Romans chapter 4. We'll look at Romans chapter 4. Just a cross-reference there. Romans chapter 4. In verse 17, Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." Talking about Abraham there. "I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." And we'll look at verse 24, slide down there. It says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." You know, Abraham was the father of many, many nations. Those who believe God by faith, they are taking after their father, Abraham. Let me ask you, which attributes of your father do you have? Amen. Let me ask, who is your father? Let me ask, have you had a second verse? In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." He was delivered for our offenses. I remember, actually, on the 26th of August will be, 2012 was when I got saved. So that would be coming up on, 9 years? 9 years, I believe, if I'm doing the math right. On the 26th of August will be my spiritual birthday. And I remember as I was thinking back, you know, of how I got saved. And I remember thinking about all of the things that I had done wrong and needing the Lord Jesus Christ to save me for those sins that I've committed and from the sins that I will commit. There was a reliance on him, a dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You can't ever get saved if you've never thought you've done anything wrong, if you think you're a good person, quote unquote. There is no need of salvation for you if you have that mindset. We need to learn to see ourselves how God sees us. We need to have the attributes of our Heavenly Father. He is your father. I have some attributes of my dad and I have some attributes of my mom, and we won't go into details as to what those are. But there's attributes there, and then there's likenesses or character traits or tendencies, those kinds of things. It's going to be obvious, you know. It's when people look at a picture of my dad at my age, they're like, oh, that's Caleb. We actually look quite a bit alike. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll just move on there. Wow. I'm just joking. Calm down. All right. Let's keep going here. And we see the two different seeds of Abraham. In this verse here in verse 7, we're looking at the relationship from Abraham's faith. There are two different seeds of Abraham. Those who are the children of the flesh, the Jews, and those who are children by faith, the believers, which are you. The Jews in Jesus' day, they thought their ticket, and we've talked about this a little bit, they thought their ticket to heaven was secured through being related to Abraham by the flesh. We see that in John chapter 8. And we see also in verse 16, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that the reference here in verse 7 is to the spiritual children of Abraham, not the physical. The Jews, they did not perceive the need to have that spiritual relationship, which comes to all who by faith believe as Abraham did. The spiritual relationship is more important than a blood or flesh relationship. Let me ask you, how much trust have you put in God? How strong is your faith in Him? We look back at Abraham and we see how God told him to leave his family. And we see how God asked him to sacrifice his only son and do different things and have a child at an elderly age, so to speak. We see all these instances of where God called upon Abraham or asked him to have faith. So let me ask you, how much trust have you put in God? How strong is your faith in Him? The first two Scottish missionaries sent to the New Hebrides Islands were killed and eaten by cannibals on the day they arrived. After that, it was proved difficult to find missionary volunteers. But even when John G. Patton agreed to go, well-meaning people in the church tried to dissuade him. Those are the kind of Christians you want to associate right there with. I'm being sarcastic. One elderly man warned that he would be eaten by cannibals. Patton replied, "I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection will be, well, in the great day, my resurrection body will be, will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." After 15 years of fruitful ministry, almost everybody on the island that they went to there, where Patton was ministered, was converted. Let me ask you, do you have the faith to risk it all? We often, you know, think of everyone else going off and doing these great things for God and other people going out and being missionaries. Do you have the faith to leave everything for the Lord? Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. We'll go back to Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about the faith of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, excuse me. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." We see that the scripture foresaw something. The scripture, just to kind of break it down here for you, means in a primary sense, a written or anything written appropriately by the way of distinction, the books of the Old and New Testament, the Bible. Now, I know that's pretty, you know, bottom shelf stuff, but it's good to look up the definitions of words. Sometimes you think you know what they're saying, but it's good to look at that stuff. So the scripture foresaw something. Foresaw means to be aware of beforehand or to predict something. You know, just a simple side note, if we read the Bible, we should be able to predict a few things. Just another reason to read your Bible. We see that the scripture foresaw that God would justify. Justify means to cause another to appear comparatively righteous or less guilty than oneself. We saw that the scripture foresaw that God would justify the heathen. Remember, the Jews thought anyone who was not a Jew was heathen. Let's look at how the justification is accomplished. It's accomplished through faith. Most of us here, maybe, are saved, but we don't want to be without faith. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17. We don't want to be without faith. I know this is simple stuff, but it is important. Matthew 17, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me hither." And you can read there in verse 14, it talks about the people. They were bringing the lunatic there to Jesus. And he's like, "Really, guys? Really? Oh, faithless and perverse generation? How long shall I be with you?" You know, it's kind of like sometimes our grandparents can only tolerate us grandchildren for so long. And it's like, "How long shall I be with you?" Like, oh, 15 minutes, you know. Hey, kids, it got to be a pretty bit much for my grandparents. But the Lord just like, "Ah, how long do I got to put up with you guys and your lack of faith?" He's emphasizing how important it is to have faith. Don't be a part of the faithless generation. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll look at verse 40. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. And he said unto them, in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, and he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Obviously, you know how Jesus here stills the storm. But he's saying, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You see that a lack of faith is brought on sometimes by fear. Fear can produce a lack of faith sometimes. Let me ask you, are you fearful? Maybe that is the result of your lack of faith. Matthew chapter 25, we'll look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Just some verses I found here while I was studying this. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. And Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So we see that it's important to be a faithful servant. Having faith in God or being faithful can accomplish a lot. We've seen time and time again in the Bible and how faith prompts God to take action. In this verse, here in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, we see the Redeemer in Abraham's faith. Redeemer is one who redeems or ransoms, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. The scripture is saying, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And it talks about preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So what it's saying here, the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." This is a reference to Genesis chapter 18, verse 8. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 18, verse 8. 18. This was kind of an interesting part of my study here, because the one commentary said it's a reference to Genesis 12, 3, and then the other commentary said, no, this is Genesis 18, 18 is the cross-reference, because a lot of people like to reference Genesis 12, 3, a lot of the people who like to correct the Bible. Genesis 18, verse 18, the Bible says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. We have to be careful not to confuse the physical promises of God with the spiritual promises of God. Preached before the gospel is a reference to some good news preached to Abraham. In John chapter 8, we can turn there and look at verse 56. We see Abraham saw Christ's day in the sense that he manifested that he had enough faith to believe in the physical resurrection of Isaac. You see that in Genesis chapter 22. But we'll look at John chapter 8 and verse 56. John chapter 8 and verse 56. The Bible says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So we see there that's a reference that Abraham saw Christ's day in the sense that he manifested that he had enough faith to believe in the physical resurrection of Isaac. And we see that in Genesis chapter 22. But let's look at Genesis 22 verse 18. Because this is a cross-reference to 18:18, Genesis 18:18. Genesis chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 18. Genesis 22, verse 18. The Bible says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So we see an obeying there for Abraham, and that's when the blessings come. It's important to obey, and we talked a little bit about that last time. So this is a cross reference to Genesis 18:18 and Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. We see that Abraham, he was blessed for his faith in God. We should acknowledge and be mindful of how God has blessed us. You know, something interesting I looked up this week just studying on blessings. And one thing that I don't think many Americans know or realize, but each state has their own constitution. Right. And in the Pennsylvania's constitution, it states this: we the people of Pennsylvania, grateful to Almighty God. Yeah. For the blessings of civil and religious liberty, and humbly invoking his guidance, do ordain and establish this constitution. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's a far cry from where our politicians are at now, but man, when it started out, it was pretty good. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for his blessings? There was a pastor by the name of A.J. Gordon. He was a pastor of a church in Boston. He met a young boy in front of the sanctuary carrying a rusty cage with several birds. Gordon asked him, what are you going to do with them? The little boy says, I guess I'll just feed them to an old cat we have at home. Amen. Gordon offered to buy them, and the lad exclaimed, Mister, you don't want them. They can't sing very well. Gordon replied, I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds. The exchange was made and the boy went away whistling happy with his shiny coins. Gordon walked to the back of the church property and let the birds soar into the blue sky. The next Sunday, he took the empty cage into the pulpit and used it to illustrate his sermon about Christ coming to seek and to save the lost, paying for them with his own precious blood. That boy told me the birds weren't songsters, said Gordon. But when they winged their way heavenward, it seemed like they were singing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Yes. So let me ask you this morning, have you been redeemed? Yes. Let me ask you, what do you have to sing about? Amen. Do you have anything to sing about? Amen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. We'll move along here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, "So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Who? Those who are of faith, Christians. There are benefits to being a Christian. Don't always just look at the negatives. The only negatives to being a Christian are considered negatives by what? Yeah. Your flesh.
Yeah.
And these people, the Christians, are what? They're blessed with a faithful Abraham, the father of many nations. Some of us have been blessed with good and faithful fathers. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for the father figures in your life if you don't have a spiritual father. In this verse, we see the recompense of Abraham's faith in verse 9. The recompense or blessing is also a reference to the righteousness of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. We see the recompense or the blessing of faith is that which Abraham, he received it by faith. The word faithful in the text does not speak of the faithfulness of life, but the fact that Abraham believed God. Those blessings are the same that will be received by all those that are of faith. There is no reference here to the law in obtaining blessings. Abraham received his blessings by faith. So will all those that come the same way. He did for their righteousness unto salvation. The recompense of faith far exceeds any recompense of the law. There are blessings given to those who are found faithful. Should we not be faithful to the very end? I saw an interesting story this week, and it says, on May 19th, 1780, in Hartford, Connecticut, the sky went from blue to gray at noon. Shortly thereafter, the sky was so dark that men believed the end of the universe had come and fell to their knees begging for a final blessing. The House of Representatives was meeting, and the many representatives asked for the meeting to be adjourned immediately. The Speaker of the House, a man by the name of Colonel Davenport, rose to his feet and silenced the men with these words, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles may be brought. Be faithful in your duty to the very end of your days, so that he may find you faithful." So we've gotten through verses 6 through 9 there. We're going to look at the next section of Galatians chapter 3, which is the failure of the law in verses 10 through 14. We'll see how much of that we get through. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Verse 14, "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So let's look at verse 10 first of all. But why insist on the need of the law to be saved when the law has some serious failure problems? Paul cites at least four major failures of the law in this section, verses 10 through 14. But looking at verse 10, we see the law is a curse. Curse, we've looked at it before, but just to refresh your memory, it means affliction, torment, great vexation. The law was a source of torment. It was not an easy thing to adhere to. If your Christianity is all about the do's and the don'ts, and not obeying God because you love Him, I'd imagine your life is not very fun. So, are you doing what you do and not doing what you don't do because you love Him? If not, who do you love?
Yeah.
Yourself? Who are you doing everything for? Others? If so, it won't last. In verse 10 here, we see the failure of the law to protect. Salvation is the removal from the divine curse of sin. Therefore, why mix the law with grace? For the law only brings a curse. It cannot remove the curse. If you do not keep all of the law, all of the time, you are cursed. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. We'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. We're talking about the curse of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. The Bible says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all people shall say amen." So you've got to do all of the law. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, just over a page in verse. We'll look at verses 56 through 61. Deuteronomy chapter 28, looking at verses 58, starting in verse 58. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. The Bible says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance." Two references to long continuance there. It's going to go on for a while. "Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee." Verse 61. "Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." Not fun stuff there. You see the curse of the law there. Let's look at John chapter 7, all the way into the New Testament. John chapter 7, verse 49. John chapter 7. In verse 49, see that the law is pretty terrible there. There's a lot that would go wrong if you didn't adhere to all of it. John chapter 7, verse 49. It's there. John chapter 7, verse 49. The Bible says, "But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." So we see some references there to the curse of the law. The law gives no protection from the curse, but only assures the curse. Failure of the law to protect. There was a duck hunter who was with a friend in a wide open land of the southeastern part of Georgia. Far away on the horizon, he noticed a cloud of smoke. Soon he could hear the crackling as the wind shifted. He realized the terrible truth. Brush fire was advancing so fast they could not outrun it. Rifling through his pockets, he found what he was looking for, a book of matches. He lit a small fire around them. Soon they were standing in a circle of blackened earth, waiting for the fire to come. They didn't have to wait long. They covered their mouths with handkerchiefs and braced themselves. The fire came near and swept over them. They were completely unhurt, untouched. Fire would not pass where the fire had already passed. Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. The law cannot judge what Christ has already forgiven. We'll look at the 11th verse of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We see that the law cannot justify in the sight of God. It's important that we try to see and study how God sees things. It is evident. Evident means plain, open to be seen, clear to the mental eye, apparent. It is obvious that God sees the law, that the law cannot justify a man when he said, the just shall live by faith. Just means, in a moral sense, upright, honest, having principles of rectitude. So in God's eye, the law does not make one upright and honest. Here in verse 11, we see the failure of the law to purify. The law condemns the sinner. It does not cleanse the sinner. We see the plainness of the failure. It is evident to the clear thinking mind. It is obvious that the law cannot justify. This evident phrase indicts the Galatians for their illogical thinking. We need to make sure we have the right kind of thinking. Yeah. A side note, to have our thinking right, we must see things how God sees them. And how we know that is by reading and studying the Bible. That's why it's so important to do that, so you have the right thinking. We see the prophet supporting the failure of the law. The just shall live by faith. This is a reference to Habakkuk 2:4. We won't go there for time's sake, but the scripture therefore supports this failure. You can gain life not from the law, but by faith in Christ. There's the personal element enters since salvation under the law is a combination of faith and works. Faith in the New Testament, it's the gift of God, and not even the faith exercised in Christ can be called a work. A lot of people obviously try to work their way to heaven. Above the entrance to the concentration camp in Auschwitz, if I'm saying that right, Germany, were the words, and I'm going to butcher this, Erbit macht frei. The words mean work makes free. It was a bold-faced lie suggesting that if the prisoners worked hard, they would be given liberty. They promised freedom, but the promised freedom was a horrifying death. Many people believe that if they do their best, if they do good works, they will enter, they will earn heaven, quote unquote. This, however, is false. They will learn too late that the good works did not earn freedom. It is Christ's blood that liberates. He died to give us freedom from the penalty of our sins. Our works do not make us free. Only He can make us free. Just for time's sake, and if I get into the next verse, it'll probably go too long, so I'll end there for this week. But we just need to be reminded that the main thing to me and my mind going through that is just the faith of Abram and how it's important that we have faith. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord, I just thank You for this day. We thank You for this time and just allowing us to be here and to study Your Word. Dear Lord, I just ask that You give us a good rest of the day. Help Pastor Matt and pastors, they preach. In Jesus' name, amen.